as a church, we are commissioned to make disciples. And by the whole principle and the premise of how we are set up and designed, that is our ultimate goal. We start at a very young age. We have preschool classes where we bring children in and we start teaching them the stories about Jesus, who Jesus was, what he came to earth to do, and we talk about the results of what happened of that. We also teach them the Old Testament stories that teach a foundation. And then when they start going to the elementary ages, we teach them about Jesus and that you need to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and be baptized in Christian baptism to accept him and to have be filled with the Holy Spirit and your sins forgiven. Then in the junior high and senior high age, we challenge them that you need to live a life different than what you're seeing amongst your peers. You need to live a life as one who has accepted Christ and one who is different from the rest of the world. Then as adults, we expect you to come into church and sit down and do absolutely nothing from that point on. Oh, no, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. But that we end up doing that sometimes, though, don't we? We teach them and we say, we want you to go out and be productive, be fruitful. We want you to teach others about God's word. Here's a passage that Jesus himself shares. It says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his fields. And we pray about this. We pray about this passage. Lord, please send missionaries out. So then you go ahead and read the rest of the story, and it's where Jesus is sending out the 12, and he's teaching them how to go out and share God's word. And this is some of the other words that Jesus shares. It says, be on guard against men. They will hand you over to local authorities. They will flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings, witness to them and to the Gentiles. But when you are arrested, do not worry what you will say or how you will say it. For at that time, you will be given the words by the Spirit of your Father, and he will speak through you. Missionaries, the purpose of the church, our goal is to continue to develop young people, develop mature adults to go out into God's world and share his message. You've heard a few weeks ago when Serena stood up here, she shared about how this church has shaped her a little bit through Norman Luce's teaching in a Sunday school class. And then she went on and named all the different teachers she had, how they touched her life. Today we're going to hear the rest of the story. Serena's going to come. She's going to share with you about what's going on in her life, where she's going, what God's doing, and how your involvement in her life will continue to shape the outcome and the results that God will bless her with. Serena, will you come join me up here? I have to cheat because I have a whole list of questions I ask her, and I can't remember them. She knows all of her answers, but don't fall.
That would happen to me. Good morning.
As we say a little bit ago, Serena, you've been a part of the Miami Town Church family for a long time. Tell us a little bit about how you got started and how long you've been here.
Does the name Cecil or Rena Bennett ring a bell to anyone? Many of you know that Cecil and Rena were my grandparents, and they were members here at Miami Town. And they had been working on my parents, trying to get them to come and place their membership here, too. It was closer to home. There was family here, and they just really wanted my parents to be able to share in the church family with them. So Cecil and Rena Bennett, my grandparents, convinced my parents to finally come and do that. So my parents came here and placed their membership when I was about 5 years old. And I was baptized at Woodland Lakes Christian Camp when I was 13. So I've been around here for many years now.
Well, for all these years that you've been around here and your experiences, how has God been developing within you the desire to serve him as a full-time missionary?
It's my parents' fault, actually. They told me a little bit ago, actually, that they had been praying for at least one of their children to become a missionary, and here I am. So there's been many different things that have led up to this and that have been shaping me over the years. My grandparents were missionaries to the deaf, and my parents were missionaries in Mexico. It was before I was born, but just hearing all of their stories and how they influenced people, and I've been to Mexico, and I've met some of the families that they ministered to and discipled myself, and so just meeting those people and seeing the fruit of my parents' labor, that really helped get me on this track. And it was my junior year of high school that I decided myself that missions was what I wanted to get into. I was at a CIY conference, and I know many of our youth here today still attend CIY every year. And at that particular conference, the speaker was challenging us to look at all of our talents and abilities and see how we could use those to further the expansion of God's kingdom. And it's something that we've all heard before. You know, everyone always talks about, well, what can you do right where you are in your workplace to reach others for Christ? But this particular time, it just really resonated with me. And I started looking back, and I realized that I've got this ability to go anywhere and meet new people and make friends wherever I go. And when I went to Mexico, I was able to learn the language rather quickly. And I just realized that those are kinds of qualities that would be important for a missionary to have. And so it was just really through the passion of the speakers at CIY that led me this way.
Well, you shared often about your time here in the church and about how you've been taught by many of the folks that are sitting here. You've talked about going to Bible college and how God has helped you there. You talked about the mission field where you've been. Is there a character, a biblical character, a story that just really speaks out to you and that's helped shape you?
How much time do we have here this morning?
You have 2 minutes.
Well, Joby, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 6, there's a dialogue between God and Isaiah. And God is just calling out, asking, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah steps up and says, here am I, Lord, send me. And he doesn't ask, where am I going to go? How long am I going to have to be there for? What am I going to have to take? He doesn't ask questions. He just says, use me, send me. And so that's just been pivotal in my walk with the Lord and coming to this track of missions. But something that's more recent is the story of Abraham. And it's not just Abraham in the story, but it's God and God proving his faithfulness to Abraham over and over and over again. But when God calls Abraham to go, Abraham goes. Kind of like Isaiah, he just says, okay, send me. And Abraham just steps out. He doesn't know where he's going. And God tells him, when it's time, I will reveal to you what I want you to do and where I want you to go. And Abraham just steps out and does it. And that, same as Isaiah, has just been pivotal in pointing me in this direction. There's a phrase in Arabic that says, Insha'Allah, and that means God willing. And Abraham, even though he's called the father of our faith, and even though he stepped out and did what God asked him, he still made mistakes. He still was impatient. He knew that God had promised him a son, but he was old and didn't have a son yet, and so he took that into his own hands. And I don't know about you guys, but I get pretty impatient sometimes, and I try to take things into my own hands too and put them in my own timeline. And especially with this trip to North Africa, where I'm moving, I decided, well, I'm really excited about this, and I really want to go, so I'm going to go to Egypt for a year, and that didn't happen. And then it was, well, I'm going to go to Syria for a year, and that didn't happen either. And it was, I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there. And God was just telling me, Serena, slow down, walk where I've put you, and in time, I will reveal to you what I want you to do. And just over the past few months, he's just revealed to me that it's North Africa is where he's leading me.
Okay, North Africa. I have a little bit of experience there. About 100 years ago, I went there. And here's what I remember about it. You as a single white female, you really don't fit in. What I remember is the women wearing head coverings and long dresses, all these. How are you going to fit in? Are you going to have to wear that type of stuff?
I'm going to have to wear what I'm wearing right now, which I don't know if you saw me when I came up here. It's the long sleeves and shirts down to about my knees and either pants or ankle-length skirts. And There are going to be times in certain cities when I'm probably going to have to cover my hair. And it's not that I'm conforming to the ways of the Muslim people, but if you were going to a church here in Kentucky, a small town in Kentucky, you know that they tend to be a little bit more conservative, and so you would probably change your dress a little bit to go where you wouldn't stick out like a sore thumb. You know, you would want to be respectful of them and their culture. Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm just taking these little things that don't really matter, that have no significance. Jesus doesn't care if I wear long sleeves or short sleeves, but these people do. And so I'm doing everything that I can to create a bridge instead of a barrier, to build relationships with these people and to be able to share Christ with them.
Isn't it going to be hot there wearing a dress like that?
Probably.
Oh, I can't imagine. Oh. Well, you're talking about going into a different culture and that you're going to be culturally sensitive. You're going to be faced with all types of difficulties and changes and customs that are not common to you. How are you going to deal with all the things you're going to be faced with?
There's going to be days when it's pretty easy, actually. There's going to be some days where I wake up and my language just clicks and I have it, and I meet someone new on the street and I'm able to have a whole conversation and it's just going to go so smoothly. But there's going to be other days where, you know, it's 110 degrees and I have to wear this and I have to cover my head and I'm going to be sweating and uncomfortable and I'm just going to want to come home and have ice, which I can't really have ice there because they don't use it. And I'm going to want my bed and I'm going to want to watch TV and I'm not going to be able to do those things. And have any of you ever heard the call to prayer? Do you know what that sounds like? I've got a little clip if Ryan wants to just hit play real quick just so you can hear what this sounds like. I have to hear this 5 times a day, 7 days a week. And there are going to be mornings when it goes off at 4 o'clock and it's going to be my alarm clock and I'm going to be really annoyed. And I'm just going to want the regular buzzing of the alarm clock that everybody here hates so much. And I'm going to be wishing that that was what I was hearing instead of this. That you can stop now.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
I mean, it says God is great, God is good, and it's calling people to come pray. And at the one that they play at 4 o'clock in the morning, it actually says praying is better than sleeping. And I know that there's just going to be days that it's so frustrating. And I'm going to just want to lock myself in my room. And to be honest, I'm probably just going to want to cry. And I know that I will get by, and I'll be able to make it through every day because I know that there are people here reading my newsletters, and that's so important. It's the best way for people here to be able to stay connected to me and my ministry. So knowing that I've got people here reading my newsletters, knowing that I've got people here praying for me, I'm going to check my email and getting an email that says, hey, I was just thinking of you today, or going to check my mail and getting a letter that's written in English and doesn't look like something that my 5-year-old niece scribbled on a piece of paper, and somebody's sending me peanut butter because they don't have peanut butter there either. That's how I'm going to get by those things, and knowing that I have the prayer and support of my church family here and back in the United States.
Well, again, we're talking about the role in a Muslim culture. A woman is somewhat considered almost property. She's lower than the children in the household. That's going to make ministry really difficult. What exactly are you going to do while you're there?
Well, that's a silly question. Everybody knows that all that missionaries do is live in grass huts, pass out tracts, and hold revivals.
Okay.
That's not what I'm going to be doing at all. North Africa is a country that's closed to missionaries. So that means that I can't go in and say, hey, I'm here to tell you all about Jesus and convert you from Islam to Christianity. That would get me a boot out of the country in a heartbeat. So in missions, we have a phrase that's creative access. And that just means that we are going to do whatever we can to try to find out how to take the gospel into these countries that won't let missionaries in. So my team, they've been in North Africa for about 3.5 years now, almost 4 years. And they've been praying about it, and they have just decided that the best solution for our team there is to open a physical therapy center for children with cerebral palsy. And I know some might say, well, that's a good, nice thing to do, but why are we going to support someone who's just going to do physical therapy? You could do that here. But there's a really high rate of physical therapy, or not physical therapy, of cerebral palsy in North Africa. And in North Africa, it's a Muslim nation, so if you're born with a disability, you're considered an outcast by your whole society, you and your family. And it's because you have committed this horrible sin for Allah to allow you to be born like that. So these people have never experienced love from anybody outside of their own family. And so this will just give us the opportunity to come in and give them a service that they need, that they don't have. And it'll be an awesome way to build relationships and be able to show them Christ.
Wow, that sounds like a very difficult task. But I'm going to go back on some of the things you were saying earlier. You're talking about you're going to go to North Africa, but you have desires to go other places. If you believe God is calling you, and that God is laying out your ministry ahead of you, why haven't you just said, God, I want to go to such and such place. Provide me the opportunity to go there. Why are you going to North Africa, since that's not your heart's desire, where to serve, on a one-year internship? Why don't you just go where you want to go?
Joby, I can see how it would seem that maybe doing a one-year internship could seem like a waste of time. But let's look at it this way. Let's say I'm a pilot, and I have done all sorts of flights from Cincinnati to Chicago. And I've done those on my own, and that's okay. They're real short. But let's say that I'm getting ready to do my first international flight, and I'm flying from here to Africa, and I'm the only pilot. Are you going to come hop on my plane?
Nope.
Probably not. So before I can be the pilot, I have to be a co-pilot. I have to work under these people that have experience, more experience than I do, and I'll be able to have a mentor who can guide me through my first year of this ministry.
Some of the places you've talked about going, Central Asia, that's really where you desire to go, am I correct?
Yes.
I've done some looking on a map. I don't know if you all know much about geography. According to our census, as Americans, we're pretty illiterate when it comes to geography. But Central Asia is this area of the country right here. And let me read some of the names. You've probably heard of them. Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Syria. That's the area of the country, of the world, that you want to go to. It's very dangerous, very hostile area right now. Are you worried about your safety at all?
Am I worried? No. Am I concerned? Sometimes. I definitely have days where I wake up and think, what in the world am I getting myself into? But I'm pretty sure that everybody here has those days, even if they just stay in the United States. You know, it's dangerous pretty much anywhere we go. But something that I've really been thinking and realizing lately is that it's not me who's chosen this for me. You know, Isaiah said, I will go. He didn't say, I'll go as long as I'm going to be safe, as long as you promise me safety. And he didn't say, I'm going to go as long as you promise me that the whole time that I'm there, I'm going to have full support and never lose support. He didn't say, I'm not going to go unless, or I'm going to go, but if the economy gets bad, I'm going to stay. He doesn't say that. He just says, I'm going to go. And I realize that if it were up to me, I would have gone to Latin America because that's where I was convinced I was going to go. But after I prayed about it, God revealed to me that this was what he wants for me to do. And I have to be obedient to that. It's more of a matter of obedience than it is a matter of safety. And Paul writes in the book of Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I'll gain, if anything. So.
Obviously, you can tell by the way we're decorating, the way we've been approaching this month. We've put a theme together entitled Getting Your Hands Dirty, Getting Involved. Obviously, you're getting involved, but can you help me understand a little more how our theme and what you're doing kind of work together, they coincide?
Yeah, I was really excited, actually, when I found out that this was the theme of the Missionary Convention this year and of our Missions Month. Get Your Hands Dirty is kind of a motto that Team Expansion lives by, and For those who don't know, Team Expansion is the missions organization that I'm going through. They're my umbrella. And so Get Your Hands Dirty is one of their main focuses. And it comes straight out of the book of Nehemiah. And I look over here and see this wall. And that wall doesn't really seem like it's complete to me. It seems like it's still under construction. And the whole book of Nehemiah is about rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And we have an acronym that we follow. It's called PACE. And PACE stands for Pray, Activate, Commit, and Enlist. And in Nehemiah, the very first thing that he did before he started gathering resources or trying to get other people to come help him, the very first thing that he did was pray. And Team Expansion was founded on prayer. It was started on the campus of Kentucky Christian College, then it's university now, but which you're very familiar with, and Dusty, you're familiar with. It was started in a dorm room by a guy who just got the heart to pray for the nations. And it's still something that we focus on daily. We have prayer time every day in the office and multiple times throughout the week. And it's just something that we've really focused on. And after prayer is activate. You know, Nehemiah, he got really active in building the wall himself, but not only in building himself, but he got active in recruiting other people to come and help him build the wall. And that's what I've been doing for the past 2 years. Working in the mobilization department at Team Expansion, I've been recruiting, activating people to go build the wall. And it works perfectly to see, you know, the structure of Nehemiah and then what we're doing. And after I've committed or after I've activated people to go, the next thing is commit. I'm committed to going myself. And I'm trying to get these people that I've recruited to commit to going full-time themselves and not just for a summer or a semester, but to go full-time. Nehemiah was so committed to getting this wall finished. And it says that there were times when he was fighting with or building with a stone in one hand, building the wall with a sword behind him in the other hand to fight off the enemies. And I don't know if there's another definition for missions that works more perfectly than that. That's what it is, you know, is building the wall, getting these people to come to know Christ. And the whole time it's a spiritual battle. And the sword behind me is prayers that I'm offering up myself and that you all are offering up for me and all other missionaries out there. And the last is enlist. He got people to build the wall. It says that he got people to go work at the fish gate and the dung gate. And who wants to go work at the dung gate? Anybody? No, nobody wants to do it, but they realize that it's important because he was so committed and because he was so prayerful and because he was active himself. He was so excited and passionate about this that he was getting people to go to these far off places that nobody else wanted to go. So it's not just about building the wall here in Miami Town, but it's about continuing the wall all the way to North Africa and Japan and Afghanistan and the ends of the earth. And that's pretty much exactly what I'm doing.
This next question is really to us as a church family. How can we, as a church family of Miami Town Christian Church, see ourselves as a home church, as a sending church of Serena, get behind her to support her as a missionary? How can we see ourselves being key ingredients, elements, to see her ministry succeed? I'll be honest. When I hear the country of Afghanistan and all these other Central Asia countries, I don't want her to go there. I have concerns for her. She's going to a Muslim culture where her ministry is going to be difficult. She will be tested day in and day out. But this is what God's calling her to do, then I have to prayerfully support her in that. I have to get behind her. I have to make sure that daily I pray for her. I'm going to make sure I sign up and get my name where I can get information. I know right now out in this foyer, she has a sign-up sheet. She says she wants you, as a church family, to sign your name, to put your address. If you have email, put it there so she could count on you for support. She could send you information. She could say, today's a really bad day. They try to kill me. Please pray. Or it's a really bad day. I really don't like the food. or it's been a victorious day. Today I had the opportunity to share my faith with a child or with a young lady in our ministry. And I could see her turning towards Christ. Please pray. She's trying to activate us as a church to get involved in missions, to try to make a difference, to start sending more young people to Bible college, start sending more young people to serve their Lord as missionaries, as ministers, as youth ministers. But you guys have to help do that. He wants to see you guys get committed. Sometimes that even means that it's just not by your prayers or by your mouth, it's by your finances, that we support missions, that we take time and support her. Then enlist. Do it yourself. We have a list of times when we go out of this country and when we go different places in country where you can participate in missions yourself. You can go out and learn what it's about. Sitting here, I see Kim Boatwright out of the corner of my eye. And I'm going to tell a little story on him. I didn't ask him, so if he doesn't want me to tell you, that's too bad. Before we ever went to Nicaragua, I spoke with Ken, and he's like, well, yeah, I know what missions is like. You know, I've traveled down to Mexico, and I've rented a Jeep and driven throughout the countryside. I've seen the poor people. I've seen poverty. I've seen how the people work and how they live. Okay, then you're ready to go. I also remember hearing him in Nicaragua as this little girl gave him a little peck on the cheek and thanking him for being there. And how his view of missions has changed. How his attitude has changed. How his involvement has changed because he enlisted and he went and he did it. Serena's discussion here today, sharing what God's doing in her life, is the same story that can happen in your lives. That God can change you, God can lead you if you're willing to listen. One of the things I looked through here in one of her answers, she lists her age. I'm 24 years old. And she's willing to just keep her mouth quiet and say, God, where you want me to go, I'm willing to go. What you want me to do, I'm willing to do. I don't see anybody in here that's 24 years old. Actually, I see people that are double, maybe even triple, that haven't come to the maturity in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I'm yours. I will do what you want me to do. I will go where you want me to do. I will serve how you want me to serve. Even if it means that it could cost me my life, I'm willing to do it. As she's quoted Paul, for me to live is Christ. That's for me to live is to take his message out amongst the people. But for me to die is gain. Where are you all at? In your relationship with Jesus Christ. Where are you at in the relationship to what he has sent a call out to do? The harvest field is plentiful, but the workers are few. Are you willing to be a worker for Christ? Before you can be a worker, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to know him intimately and personally. And what happens often is some of us get to do that part, and then we stop. Serena's challenge, yeah, I want you to mature. I want you to grow in Christ to serve him more and more each and every day. This wraps up our time together today. But it doesn't wrap up your opportunities to serve God, to accept him. I'm going to ask that you simply stand with me and that you'll take time and you'll contemplate for just a moment on how involved you'll be. Please stand. And what you're going to do for God. How you can accept him. How you can make him your God. And not just accept him, but live for him. To be involved in him. To change the world. Just like one we've been praying about and working on developing as planning to do. I'm going to ask that you simply come. The second thing. This is going to be the part that is really important. Serena's here with us. If you're willing to support her ministry, I'm going to ask that you make your way down the aisle as soon as the song starts, and we're going to gather around Serena. If you have a decision other than that, let me know, and we're going to take a moment, and we're going to pray for her. But I implore you to come, and as we prepare to send Serena out, that we take this time, and we dedicate ourselves to the ministry that God has called her to.